Where shall we begin? Let's take a few moments to get it right this time. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Well, I didn't get it right last week. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we love you. We thank you for first loving us. First causing us to be here. For first placing yourself inside of us, Lord. Thank you for giving us faith, Lord, to access you, Lord. We ask you to open up your word to us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us. Exhort us. Change us, Lord. We don't want to be the same. Change us, Lord. And put something inside of us, Lord, that will last forever. Till the end. We love and bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. He's a good God. How many people know that? It's a good God. He's a great God. And that's what we spend a lot of time singing and declaring. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. There is no one like him. No other God whose power can... No other being whose power can contend. Amen. Now, today, if you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37, and I think Mimi is going to put up some scripture there for those of you who don't have, and just Genesis 37. Genesis 37 and verse 1 to 10. Now, we're not going to cover the whole, you know, Bible today. How many people want to stay back for that? You want to stay back and cover the whole Bible? Okay, you can stay, I'll go. Now, Genesis 37, verse 1 to 10. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings, his father's journey, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Now, it shifts into the life of Joseph. Joseph, being 17 years old, I'm reading a different version. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to their father of them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons. Jacob and Israel, the same one and the same person. Yeah, Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. They hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream. We're going to be talking about that today. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Are you indeed going to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" They mocked him, they scorned him. So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him. So they hated him. They were jealous of him. But his father kept the sayings in mind. We're going to stop there. We're going to stop there. So you can look up for a while. Yeah? Now today I want to speak to you about something that is still growing inside of my life. Still impacting me. Right? But it's the impact that godly dreams can have in your life. In my life. If you need to give a title to this message, you can call it "The Power of a Dream." The power of a dream. Now, let's look at Joseph. Let's look at the history there. We've read a bit of it. But I want to recap some of his story so that, you know, we know what we're talking about. Let's begin. He's obviously the favorite son of Jacob. favorite son, the favorite son, the son of his old age, the son that was born to him by Rachel, the woman that he actually loved, that he first loved, but he had to work doubly hard, another 7 years for, I think, yeah, if I got it right. But he had to work extra hard to gain his wife, well, his second wife, but the one that he loved, right? Joseph is a 17-year-old boy. He's a Hebrew. He's loved and favored by his father more than any of his other 11 brothers. Joseph is the first son, as I mentioned, of Rachel. His brothers were jealous and they hated him and unable to speak peacefully with him. Now, I don't know what it is about 17-year-old boys in the Bible. David was a 17-year-old boy, I think, when he got anointed the first time. Amen? I think I've got my history right. So David was a 17-year-old boy. Joseph here is a 17-year-old boy. Who else can we name? There's plenty of other 17-year-olds. Jeremiah was a 17-year-old when he was called by God, if I'm not wrong. There's nothing magical about this number 17, not that I know of. And you can correct me on this. But I just want you to hear my heart on this. And I speak to young and to old alike, particularly to the hearts of the young people, especially. Doesn't matter what age you are, God is able to get a hold of you. God is able to put something in you to be manifest. For His name's sake, for His glory. And also, doesn't matter how old you are, whatever you've been through, God can use you. Amen. Now, Joseph receives two dreams in his sleep, both with the same message. Now, let me step aside. We're talking about dreams here, not necessarily referring to only dreams that you have when you sleep. Not necessarily talking about, you know, literally like a movie or a picture that you get. It can start out like that or it can develop into something like that. But we're talking about something that God places inside of you. A dream. Something that you desire, something that your heart wants. And we'll come to this, you know. I might step on some toes here today, but that's okay. If you don't like what I say, just tell me. I'll move on. You know, I won't die. In his excitement, Joseph shares his dream. It's always great when we have something from God. Always great when we've got a promise, when we receive a word, either from a word of prophecy or someone speaking into your life, or you, even better still, if you've got it direct access and He speaks into your life. We leap up with joy. Am I right? I think we do. I hope we do. That's what the Word of God is, living and active in our lives. It's meant to, you know, speak in and stir you up. And it will accomplish, you know, and it will accomplish what it was sent for. So he shares his dream in his excitement and everyone at home, particularly his brothers. Now, as I said, his brothers hate him even more. And when the opportunity arises, they actually hatch a plan to kill him. You know, we find out that the eldest brother, Reuben, delivers him from death by telling his brothers, hey, let's not kill him, just kick him down this pit hole there and leave him there. But his intention, we read in the scriptures, his intention is actually to save the brother, to make sure he doesn't die, right? So that he can bring him back to the father. They all knew that this was the son that the father loved more. Instead, they sell him as a slave to the passing Midianites or Ishmaelites, some versions, who then resell him to Egypt. He's a free man, a young man, in the prime of his life, and he gets sold as a slave. He becomes no longer a free man. He's a captive. So he ends up in the house of an Egyptian, we find out, and the Egyptian's name is Potiphar. He's the captain of the guard, you know, the people that surround the palace, that surround Pharaoh, right? He ends up in the house of Potiphar. And we find out later, and we'll rest on this later on as well, that God was with Joseph and Joseph was successful. He found favor with Potiphar. So he found, by no reason of his, no merit of his own, he just found favor with his father over his brothers. By nothing really here, he found favor with Potiphar. He didn't actually begin to do anything yet. He found favor. But he was also successful. He was also, what would you say? He was honorable in his conduct. He was upright. He had a good work ethic. So he was placed in charge over everything that Potiphar had. Now, unfortunately, the next phase of his life, he already goes down. He's fallen from grace already by being sold as a slave. Next phase of his life, he goes even lower. He becomes misunderstood and imprisoned. We find out he's a handsome young man. Now, I don't know if you think I'm handsome, but I think I am. Made in the image and likeness of God. So I don't care what you say. Now, Joseph was a handsome young man, and after some time, Potiphar's wife actually lusted after him. Yeah, so the Bible is full of nice, interesting stories. Who needs to read 50 Shades of Grey? Amen. You're looking for some excitement? Read the Bible. It'll speak to you. It'll stir you up, encourage you, excite you. It'll horrify you. Things that happen. She starts lusting after him. She starts to tempt him daily. Lie with me. Sleep with me. Go to bed with me. If I was a non-Christian, I'd say, hallelujah. That's being honest. Who wouldn't want someone chasing after them? Just imagine that day after day after day after day. I don't know how long. The Bible doesn't record how long he had to endure that. Day after day after day after day. Sleep with me, sleep with me, sleep with me, sleep with me. Getting him to give up his morals, give up his faith, give up his whatever, you know. And when you're tired, how many people know when you're tired, when you've, you know, thrown in the towel, if you've lost it, you know, I once had a dream and then it's nowhere near fulfillment. I'm tired, I'm, you know, along the way comes something quote-unquote pleasurable. Why not? But this man was upright. And I praise God that he is an upright young man. He's upright and rejects her demands for an immoral relationship. Now, I think Shakespeare said this. Hell hath no fury like a woman. Yeah, a woman what? Scorned. So obviously she was rejected quite a number of times. A lot of times. Enough for her to say, okay, let's see. You reject me. I mean, men are not the only ones with egos. Amen. I don't know. I know. And all the men say, amen. Men are not the only ones with egos. But anyway, this woman's ego was bruised. She ends up, you know, in a spur of the moment, you know, one day tragedy strikes Joseph's life again. And she actually accuses him of raping her, of sexual assault. You know, today it will be called or whatever. He's thrown into prison without a trial. So Potiphar gets angry and says, I gave you everything. I give you charge of everything in my household, such that I don't even need to bother, because I know you're upright, you'll do everything. Only my wife I did not entrust to you, and yet you did this to me. So you got misunderstood. You got misunderstood, and you got put in prison without trial. During his imprisonment, now we see that he went down, he went further down, and now he's going even lower. He was forgotten, he was abandoned. You know, God was with Joseph, but he showed him, and he showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever he did, the Lord made it successful. He meets Pharaoh's butler and baker, who have been jailed for some offenses. They both have separate dreams. You know the story. They both have separate dreams, and Joseph offers to interpret their dreams because of God's gift on his life. Get this. Now, here's the upright man. He was done wrong continually and continually and continually, and yet when there's a situation where he sees these people, I mean, he must have been in the prison for some time, and then, you know, maybe the butler and the baker, they offend the Pharaoh, the king, and maybe he's easily offended. Maybe they just said something he didn't like. He said, yeah, go into prison. I don't care. You stay there however long. He sees them come in, and yet he has, and they have a dream. They come and tell him, look, we don't understand this dream. There's no one here who can interpret it for us. It's two sets of dreams, two separate dreams. He takes a moment out. He doesn't even consider himself. He just says, look, isn't it from God? you know, how come, tell me your dream, I'll share. I will try my best with the gift that God has given me. Right? So, they both have separate dreams. And in interpreting their dreams, his only one request to this one guy, to the butler, the cupbearer in some versions, his only one request is that you please don't forget me. Please don't forget my strife. You know, you see that I'm upright. You know, I didn't do anything wrong. Why have I been jailed? You tell this to the Pharaoh, get me out of here. So he literally said, get me out of here. You know. His interpretation of the dreams come to pass. He was accurate. He's a gifted man of God. So young man, handsome man, gifted man, upright man. So it comes to pass. The baker goes to his execution after 3 days. And after 3 days, the butler is restored to his position. So he comes back to the courts of Pharaoh and he's serving Pharaoh. And then he conveniently forgets for another 2 years. There must have been some oath or some, you know, agreement. Okay, you know, you interpret my dream and I will tell Pharaoh of your plight. But he conveniently forgets about it and then another 2 years. So we see another step lower. He's abandoned. He's lonely. He's abandoned. He's forgotten. When Pharaoh has the series of dreams, this is 2 years on, his series of dreams that no one in Egypt can interpret or understand, the butler suddenly comes to his senses and recalls that, I recall my offense. Back then when I was in prison, I made a deal and I went back. I reneged on that deal. I forgot. I left it. So he starts to tell Pharaoh, look, I know this guy. I know a man, you know, who can do exactly what you need. Pharaoh had searched the whole of Egypt, all the wise men, all the magicians, whatever you want to call them. He could not find anyone to interpret the dream, anyone to give him understanding. He was disturbed. If you read the account, how many people know the account in Genesis? You know, it's quite a disturbing set of dreams. You know, you got 7 cows or, you know, nice looking, fat, you know, well looked after. And then after that, in the next set of dreams, you have ugly looking cows that come and eat up these cows. It's a bit freaky. Sometimes dreams can be a bit freaky, but you know, just hang in there. Don't you yourself don't freak out. Right? You know. Let's see. Jacob. Oh wait, wrong. Where am I? So Pharaoh summons Joseph to interpret these dreams. And he's so impressed with the wisdom and the counsel that comes forth from this young man's mouth that he actually immediately releases Joseph. He's saying, you know, obviously you're innocent. What are you doing in prison? Get out of prison and come and serve me. Right? Puts him in charge of running the whole country. And in today's terms, we'll call him a prime minister. Isn't that marvelous? In one instant, in one day, overnight, he just went from a slave to a freedman and he immediately the Prime Minister of Egypt. By this stage, he's 30 years old, right? And because the Lord God was with him, Joseph was able to bring the country out from the famine, through the famine, actually. You know, you read of the wisdom that he had. Then we see another connecting part to this whole story that we read earlier on. Jacob, wherever he was, his family, his sons and all that, they were starving. They were starving during the famine. And he decides, why don't you guys go down to Egypt? I hear they've got some food. Go down and buy it. Right? So he sends his sons to Egypt to buy food during the famine. And then we see the fulfillment of Joseph's dream. I'm not going to explain that to you. We see the fulfillment of Joseph's dream. What was the dream? Well, the two sets of dreams, actually. One that his brothers would bow down to him. The sheaves of the brothers would bow down to him. Then the second one is that the whole family would eventually bow down to him. We see the fulfillment of the dream when his family are actually seeking mercy. They're seeking help. I need your help. I need mercy here from him in a time of their crisis. So instead of blaming them for his former sufferings and rejecting them, which he was well, probably you could say he was well within his limits. You know, I wouldn't say it's totally acceptable. It's understandable with what he faced from them, that if he were to say, get lost, get out of my life, I don't need you. But in fact, and he didn't even actually have to reveal himself. He says, who are you? I don't need you here. Get out. He shows mercy. He takes off, he reveals who he actually is. They actually at that point didn't know that it was him. Right? He reveals that he is their brother, the one that they cast out and nearly killed. So instead of blaming them, he reveals himself to them. He expresses his love for them and his concern, and he receives them. Not only does he provide for them, he goes through his long process, Genesis 42 to 47 or 46. He goes through his long process, back and forth, back and forth. They actually end up, the whole family ended up in Egypt, in the land of Goshen. They settle down there. So they not only survive the famine, but they also begin to multiply and to prosper. And the Israelite nation actually starts to grow and grow and grow from what we are told, 70 people. And by the time they exited Exodus, by the time of the Exodus, when they exited Egypt, they were 2 million strong. I guess I tell you this story in this manner, in this fashion, so that you understand it all started with a 17-year-old boy. 17-year-old Hebrew boy. And whatever, is going to happen, whatever God has for your life, don't put a limit on that, whether you're too young or too old or too whatever. We can have all sorts of limitations. I'm here to tell you that it all started with a dream. Now, as we look back, how many people are with me? Amen. Okay, now when we look back in history, that's what we've just done, right? It's almost like being on the mountaintop. I'm sure Joseph didn't see it that way. It's like being on the mountaintop, having the eagle's eye view, we can see. And from this mountaintop, I want to just bring out two truths that, for me, they're screaming at me. We could look at this whole passage, this whole example of Joseph, and we could draw so many things. It's a never-ending message, really. Right? But I just want to speak on two things. The first one is God never forgets a promise. Amen? God never forgets a promise. God gave Joseph those dreams. God was with Joseph when he was sold as a slave to Egypt. God blessed and prospered and promoted him in the house of Potiphar. Even when he was thrown into prison, God was with him and blessed him and prospered this young Hebrew boy, even in prison. God gave him wisdom and understanding to interpret all the dreams that were shared with him, and eventually that, the ability to interpret those dreams accurately, was his ticket out of prison. Not those particular dreams, but then he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. That was his get out of jail card. Amen. There are things in your life, in my life, that God has gifted you with. And I don't want to really call it, I use it casually, that's your get out of jail card. But those are your gifts for you to manifest. Those are your gifts for you to use. Don't hide it. One day it could be your get out of jail card, but get out of trouble card. Those are the things that see you through, that pull you through, that take you out of struggle, of trial, of trouble. Are you getting me? So don't look down on yourself. Let me say that again. Don't look down on yourself. That was his ticket to becoming Prime Minister of Egypt. God, just give me the ability to interpret dreams, and maybe I'll become the Prime Minister of Australia. This Chinese boy from Singapore. No, I don't have that sort of aspirations, in case you're wondering. That was how he saved his family from the famine, and that was how the nation of Israel was established, all because God gave him a dream. The God who called you and me is the same God who gives you the dreams in your heart. And it's the same God who will be faithful to complete the work in you. He never forgets a promise. I use these things interchangeably. Because I tell you what, when you receive a word, when you get something from the scripture that speaks to you, it may be for different situations. I'm talking about these things that have a weight to it and has something that is in the future to be manifested, to be made, to be displayed, to be demonstrated, to be worked out. He is faithful to complete the work in you. The dreams of God, the promises of God. I want to use that interchangeably here. You know, hopefully people don't shoot me for it. But the dreams of God, the promises of God, as we heard earlier on, they are yes and amen to the glory of God the Father. Faith says yes. Faith says yes, I receive that. It will happen because you said it, Lord. And, you know, faith also says no. Faith rejects certain things. Things that are spoken detrimentally to us. Faith also rejects Potiphar's wife. He did that in faith, I believe. Faith rejects, faith accepts. It depends on which side of the coin you see. So I don't want you to think that everything that comes along with you just say, yes, 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 Lord, yes, Lord. There are certain things that God has in store for you to say no to. So not everything that comes along your path in the way that you, when you have your dreams, your visions, the things that you know you're longing to see worked out in your life. There are things that come along your way. I pray that we get smart with some of this, that we know how to say no to some of these things. Some of these people that may come along and want to try to use you and abuse you. We say no to them. We don't say yes to them. Amen? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. We all love to quote this. It speaks to us today. For I know, God, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good. In other versions, plans for welfare. Plans for to prosper you. And not for evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope, to give you an expected end. So I want you to be assured of this truth as we deliberate, we talk about this idea of dreams. God, what's happening in my life? I want you to know and be assured of this truth. God says what He means, and He means what He says. Everything He has said, He will do. He will surely bring it to pass. But listen again to this verse. For I know, God speaking, for I know the plans I have for you. So friends, God knows. In case you don't know, God knows. Even when you don't know how it's all going to work out, God knows. Amen? The God who calls us and gives us those dreams that in your heart, this is the same God who will surely bring it to pass. Now, second thing in terms of truth that I want you to understand, or you know, things that God is making known, is that God Himself releases you from the pain of the past. We can do all we want; we want to extricate ourselves. We try and forget, and try and forgive, and whatever. God releases you from the pain of the past. God wants to release you from the pain of the past. When Joseph was, you know, Joseph has his first child, we hear down the track in Genesis chapter 41, I think his first 50 to 52, he names his first child Manasseh, whichever you prefer. That name means God has caused me to forget. Some people call it holy forgetfulness. I mean, if it's from God, it's obviously holy forgetfulness. So there's something, you know, he forgot all the hardship of his father's house. That's what the word says. God has caused me to forget the hardship and all my father's house. In saying that, he wasn't saying that, you know, stuff them, I'll do my own thing. No. He was saying, he was prophetic. He was a prophetic man. Prophetically releasing forgiveness to those who hurt him and to those who caused him to endure all that loneliness, all that suffering, all that injustice. But he was also releasing himself from the hold of that, from the weight of that hurt, that rejection, that abandonment. That's another truth right there. unforgiveness is the thing that holds us back. And I speak about this in the realm of manifesting your dreams, in the realm of living out the dreams. That is one major thing that holds us back. We hear about it in the New Testament. When Jesus walks the face of the earth, He talks about it. He says, when He's teaching us about prayer, "For if you do not forgive other people's sins, how can your Heavenly Father forgive you?" So you can go and pray the Lord's Prayer: "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to the test, but deliver us from evil. Amen." In case you didn't know, I was born a Catholic boy, so I can recite all of that. But you can say that until the cows come home. And if you don't live out that part of releasing yourself from that unforgiveness and releasing forgiveness to other people, you're going to find yourself in more trouble. He was also releasing himself, as I said, from the weight of all of that. And eventually, when he has his second child, we hear a few verses down, he names his child Ephraim, which actually means fruitfulness. In some versions, double fruitfulness. Point taken. If you want to see the fruitfulness of God, God's work in your life, of the dreams that God has for you, we don't live in a bubble. We can't protect ourselves always from not getting hurt. We can't do that. We do day in and day out. As long as you are not on your own, as long as you're with other people, whether it be friends, it be family, your spouse or whatever, you're gonna hurt each other. Release forgiveness. To be fruitful. So that name was fruitfulness. God has made me fruitful, but listen to His words. And you can check this out if you don't find that I'm accurate. But it says, God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So the very place where you were suffering, we see, I gave you all, we went through all of that. The very place that you were suffering was the very place that you was fruitful. Which tells me it wasn't just when he had his sons. That wasn't the point where he had forgiven or where he had forgotten. It was long time ago. It was long time ago. Some people tell you keep short accounts with God, right? You know, if you know you've got an issue that He's putting His finger on or dealing with, don't delay, don't hold back. Deal with God. I mean, He won't reject us. He won't reject us. He'll receive you. He says, "Yeah, thank you for coming to me. That's exactly what I want to do in your life. This is exactly what I want." So He receives us. I want you to know. There are many of us here today struggle to live out the dreams that God has given to us. And in some way, that's because we may be able to, not forget our own past mistakes. Then that's true. Our own mistakes. So you've got to forgive yourself too. All the wrongdoings that have been done to us. But as I said, I'm here today to declare this truth over your life, that God wants to release you of those painful memories. God wants to release you from the weight that so easily ensnares. In doing so, He will cause you to be fruitful, not merely in the future, but now. It is a now thing in the land of your affliction. Actually, when you think about it, it doesn't really matter what... When you boil it all down to the bare truth, the baseline, sometimes we truly have forgotten why we were actually angry or what the issue was. The only problem is that we are still holding on to the feelings attached with that. What matters is that God knows the plans that He has for you and that He has plans to prosper you for your good and to give you a future and a hope. You get me so far? Fairly simple, these 2 points. Yeah? These 2 points. God never forgets His promise and He will surely bring it to pass. Whatever He said over your life. And this other truth that God releases us from the pain of our past. Now, with those 2 points in mind, I only really have 2 more points. And these are the points that are related to, it relates to Joseph's life. But now we're in a position to talk about our own lives. Yeah? Our own dreams. And while there are many things that could be said, I want to bring out only these few things as guidelines, really. You know, you don't have to take these as Bible truth, but just take these as guidelines. Number one, if you're writing notes, is one of the things that hit me interestingly during the week. Your dreams come to life when you speak them out. I never saw this when I was looking at Joseph's life before. Your dreams come to life when you speak them out. Take a look at Joseph. If he didn't share those dreams right there and then, he probably wouldn't have seen the fulfillment of them either. Now, you might challenge me on that. You know, whatever God says in life, He's going to work it out. He'll bring it to completion and all that. But let me tell you, faith is not absent of human responsibility. You understand where I'm coming from? Faith isn't absent of human responsibility. God wants to co-partner with you. He wants to share. You know, He shares. That's why we're called heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He shares this journey with you. He shares the responsibility of fulfilling the plans and dreams and purposes and will for your life. And for this earth, actually. Normally, we would say that, you know, Joseph's character needed development. And that's true. I don't disagree with that. That's true. You know, what does a 17-year-old know? I've been a 17-year-old, but hey, here's me saying this again, as it is said to Jeremiah, don't look down on your youth. Don't despise your youth. Just means that you need a bit of shaping. That's what the Bible talks about when he says that you, of all things, work together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose, who love God and are called according to His purpose, that they may be made conformed to the image of His Son. So that actually, that's one of God's end goals, is to get you to look, look and be like Jesus. Amen? I mean, it is a painful process. Just look what he had to go through. It's painful. I would have given up. You put me at 17 years old. I remember myself at 17. Oh my gosh, you wouldn't want to have met me back then. But you and I would say that he had to go through what he went through, and that's true. But I also want you to see that deep down inside, and this is something to apply, to take action with. Deep down inside, he had the courage to speak it out. The courage of his convictions to speak it out. In faith, what he had received in the dreams. So what you see, and that's why, you know, God intends for all his people to be prophetic people. Speak out what's in your heart. Release the power of it coming to pass. Doesn't mean it's going to happen right now. And we see that, and it took a good 13 years, from 17 to 30. But I want you to know, we are made in the image and likeness of God. Amen? Can you say hallelujah to that? We're made in the image and likeness of God. There ain't no other creature on the face of this earth that's made like that. We are given the same kind of authority, the same kind of creative power. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So I want to say to you, God's dreams, when you share God's dreams, when you speak it out, doesn't matter whether it's amongst one or two people or sharing it to a bigger group of people, whatever, your family, your friends. Unfortunately for Joseph, he shared it with his family and they nearly killed him for it. But, you know, share. Because that gives life. Because we don't often know what's inside of us until it comes out. Until I write something or until I speak something. I don't really know. I get a sense, and if you believe in uploading and downloading, like if you talk about prayer and as uploading and downloading, then sometimes the download is so fast, sometimes the download is so much that you can't contain it, that you actually don't know how to bring it out. And maybe that's me. I struggle. But share it anyway. We need to speak in faith, because faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the things dreamed about, the things yearned for, the things longed for. Faith is that substance that receives it. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is a now thing. Amen. Is this easy or is this hard? Come on. Receive that. Faith is another thing. It activates the plan, the purposes of God in your life. Faith sets the dream into motion. If Joseph didn't speak the dreams, then nothing would have taken place. We've established that. So I want you to speak out the dream that you have. And let God give life. Let the Spirit of God breathe life, in a way that only He can. It's not just what goes on in your sleep, and we talked about that. Just take a moment, we're maybe 10 minutes off from finishing, and I've taken a lot of your time today. Ask yourself these questions. What has God been speaking to me? Or what has God spoken to me about? What am I passionate about? What stirs my heart? What breaks my heart? The number of songs they talk about that God break my heart for what breaks yours. Right? Does it serve a higher purpose? So I'm not talking about God, I'm dreaming about ice cream, give me ice cream. God, I want to be a rock star, I want to be a pop star. And truly, as a 17-year-old, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a rock star. Amongst many other things. I wanted to be a DJ, a rock star, a skydive instructor, all sorts of things. Right? Does it serve a higher purpose? What am I longing to see in my life? Let's start with that. What am I longing to see in my life? What am I longing to see in the life of my family, my friends, my community, my city, my state, my nation? What am I longing to see in this world? Okay, I know it gets a bit, hard. And it's okay. Don't get stressed out if you don't know the answer, right? God knows. God knows the dreams that are in your hearts today. He also knows the dreams that He wants to put in your hearts today. And if God knows and you don't know, then what should we do? Yes? Ask. Seek. Ask. Seek. Find. Find out. So I want to speak to that element, that substance in you, that knows deep down inside that God is the one who planted that dream in you. Not everything has to be hyper, extremely spiritual. It's not, trust that sometimes you get the end goal, sometimes you only get what's further on the track. So if you're dreaming about being a drummer, dreaming about being a soccer player, you're dreaming about something, I don't want to crush that. I want to speak to that. Because maybe that's one step forward, opening the door to the next, unlocking the door to the next thing in your life. Okay, so here's a hint for family members, for parents, for whatever, and for all of us really. It's a challenge to help people find their dream or release the dream. Because sometimes we also have our own thoughts on what that dream should be. Yeah. So hold that thought. I'm not going to speak on that, but just hold that thought. Right. Now, this goes beyond the understanding, the real elementary understanding that God is going to give you the desires of your heart. That's not what I'm saying. Like I said, it's not about God give me ice cream. But what I believe that scripture in Psalm 37 verse 4 is saying is that He's not simply going to give me what I want. Otherwise, He's no much more than a sugar daddy, no much more than a genie. Rub the lamp and you say, and God comes out and says, your wish is my command. He ain't like that, right? What this verse is actually saying is God, either He has given or He's going to give you the desire, the hunger, the dream. What He wants in your life. What He has planned and purpose for you. So I only ask these questions to stir what's already been deposited inside of you. And if you feel that there's nothing deposited inside of you, seek God. So I pray you begin to understand for yourself where you are in the grand scheme of things. Now, I've got much more to say, but I shall finish up really with this. I was a young boy when I went to America. I was 9 years old. And, yeah, 9 to 11, I was in America because my father had, his job brought him there. And when I was there, this was in Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, and spent 2 years there, I had a ball of a time. Loved it. I've never been back to America ever since. But I came to understand as a young boy, I came to hear, you had to study history, I came to hear of a man called Martin Luther King Jr., right? Dr. Martin Luther King. And his life till today still inspires me. I mean, just give you a brief excerpt of him. He was a Baptist minister, he was a social activist, he was an African American. In that time, this was the mid-50s to the late 60s, really. But he was one of those that led the civil rights movement, so it was about equality. Don't talk about 1800s. 1800s was where Abraham Lincoln fought to free the African Americans from being slaves. Right? But this time, even though they were sort of free, there's a lot of racial prejudice, a lot of injustice, a lot of immorality that was done to the African Americans. And he was one of those that led the movement in the United States through his activism. I mean, like I said, he was a Baptist minister, but he was also, he couldn't just sit there and do nothing. He had to do something. And, I think you know where I'm going with this, but he played a very crucial role in ending segregation at the time. Legal segregation. It was actually lawful to put black people out of churches, out of anywhere, really. They were sitting in whether it's in church, a lot of the time they didn't even have black people in churches, right? There's a lot of injustice. Let me just leave it at that. In the South and other areas of the nation, but he was crucial to that movement that moved forward with the creation of the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act all around the mid-60s. Now, I just want to read to you, a small part of his speech, which I love hearing. I actually wanted to blast it for a while, but it goes on it's 16 minutes. The part I wanted to use is 3 minutes, but apparently it's too long. I'll share with you this. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friends, and so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. And it's a famous speech. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So that was in their constitution, but they were not really acting it out. So he goes on. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I could dramatize it all I want, I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racist and its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. He goes on, I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. I have a dream. He goes on. I have a dream. It's exactly what Joseph said. I have a dream. Maybe he wasn't so articulate with it, but he suddenly said, I have a dream. And he went on to say what the dream was. Obviously, it cost Martin Luther King his life. He was assassinated in 1968 after 13 years of activism. He was only 39 years old. He shared his dream and they killed him. Joseph was 17. He was sold as a slave. By 30, he got out of prison. For 13 long years, he had to endure that suffering. But you see, in spite of all that, we must speak it out. We must dare to speak it out. And even more so, yeah, I want to challenge you guys in this as we try and bring it to a close. We must have the courage of our convictions, not just to speak it, but also to live out that dream. Speaking out, will, you know, if you listen to that speech, your goosebumps, you'll have goosebumps. It'll inspire, it'll excite a certain crowd of people. Another crowd of people, it will provoke and provoke them to anger and murder eventually. You know it, I know it. Doesn't mean that just because you have a dream from God, that there's not going to be any challenges. Yeah. Some of us will be tested and proven in the process, just like Joseph. Some people, it will cost them their lives. You know the scripture, when he summoned, you know, I read it to you from Psalm 105. When he summoned the famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters, his neck was put in a collar of iron, until what he had said came to pass. Get this. The word of the Lord tested him. That word that he received, that dream that he received, it tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his possessions to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. If I ever want to speak to anything right now as we, and maybe if you just bow your heads, can you get the keyboards and everyone else up. And I'll leave it in Pastor Philip's hands after this. If ever there's anything to be said in this moment, I believe God has given each one of us a dream. If you're a blood-bought, spirit-filled Christian, bought by the blood of the Lamb, He's placed something on the inside of you. I want to encourage you to trust Him, to seek Him. It doesn't matter that it's not coming to pass right here, right now. The beauty of that story of Joseph's life is the fact that he only saw as far as his family bowing down to him. But the end result was the Israelite nation, and through the Israelite nation, the coming of Jesus Christ. So it don't matter. Don't matter if it doesn't happen right now. Some of them, in Hebrews, we hear, Hebrews chapter 11, that there are those who had the dreams, had the promises of God, who received it by faith, as we talked about, substance of things hoped for, but never really saw it. Moses never, he saw the promised land only from the mountaintop. He could not enter. But later on, we see that he rises up on the Mount of Transfiguration. There are those of us who, for one reason or another, feel that it's broken. Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Pick up all the shattered dreams of your life. At the feet of Jesus, lay them down. And you know the song, give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. So if you feel that your dreams have been broken, just like Joseph, I believe God's here to talk to us. God's here to touch that part of you. I don't have anything, no points to give you to do that, to activate it.
God alone. You know all of that. But that is truth. He is sovereign. And then, as I said, the most beautiful thing is God was sovereign in it all. God was with him. You know what a beautiful thing that is. That God was with him. God never forsook him. Never left him alone. Never. And he wants you to know that. He's never left you alone. Whatever the dream is or was, I pray that that dream will restore and revive in your life.
Stand for the closing.